Radio Daily for halfway day. And if you're in the Richmond, Virginia area, there's a possibility for snow. Possibly 3 inches, so I hope you brought all the bread, milk, and toilet paper. I don't know what the hell you make with that, but I hope you did. Hi, it's the 21st of March, 2018. This is all the Geek Without the Wait with the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. The folks that are bringing it to you today, well, the man who kind of figures out some truths in life and decides to share that is podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
I thought you were the ultimate rebel. I actually looked up to you, and you're nothing but a simple dick.
You're saying that to me? That's no way. How do you start a conversation that way? Hi, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
This is my gift, my curse.
Yeah, being a dick is. You're fair. You're right on that. What happened on this fine day, sir?
Well, in 1684, Giovanni Domenico Cassini discovered Tethys and Dione, two moons of Saturn, with a refractor telescope.
1859, the first zoological society is incorporated in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Following the disruption of the Civil War, the society will establish the country's first zoo, and I'm sure why Anthrocon is right there.
1942, Arthur C. Wall and Glenn Seaborg submit a secret report suggesting the name plutonium for artificial element 94, since it follows uranium, element 92, and neptunium, element 93, on the periodic table of elements. The paper will remain secret until 1948, following World War II, when it will be published in the Journal of the American Chemist Society, because they don't know how to keep their damn mouths shut.
1915, Alan Freed presents the Moondog Coronation Ball, the first rock and roll concert in Cleveland, Ohio.
Nice. 1962, a bear becomes the first creature to be ejected from a vehicle at supersonic speeds. I can only imagine that he'd left his picnic basket on top of the vehicle and it fell off and he just went to reach for it.
Oh, Yogi. 1965, yeah. NASA launches the Ranger 9, not Ranger Smith 9, lunar lander on a mission to photograph the surface of the moon. It will return 5,814 pictures before impacting the lunar surface.
1969, the Konami Company is founded as a jukebox rental and repair firm in Osaka, Japan.
Jukebox rental!
Konami will eventually grow into a leading developer and publisher of numerous anime series, tokusatsu, trading card, and video games. Fun fact, if you ever find one of those Konami jukeboxes, you can get 17 free replays if you just put in the Konami code.
1970, the first Earth Day proclamation is issued by Mayor of San Francisco, Joseph Alioto.
1980, Dallas airs its A House Divided episode, which leads to 8 months of international speculation regarding who shot Mr. Burns.
Well, Charles Rocket really wanted to F. No. 1995, Atari announces a new reduced price for the 64-bit Jaguar video game system, dropping all the way down to the low price of $159.99.
1997, Square releases Final Fantasy IV for the PlayStation in Japan.
1999, Bertrand Piccard and Brian Jones complete the first ever nonstop balloon flight around the world aboard the experimental Breitling Orbiter 3 balloon in just 20 days. Suck on that, Phineas Fogg.
2001, the Space Shuttle Discovery returns to Earth with the first residents of the International Space Station, Expedition 1.
2005, Cube Chip, that's Q00, releases the Cube Chip, a mod chip for the Nintendo GameCube, which allows users to run unlicensed software such as backup utilities, BIOS replacements, emulators, and even the Linux operating system on the GameCube.
2006, Jack Dorsey, creator, chairman, and co-founder of Twitter, sends the first tweet at 12:50 PT. The tweet reads, "Just setting up my Twitter."
He even had to shorten it then. That's back when it was just 40 characters.
TWTTR.
2008, the Falcon 1, a partially reusable rocket launch system designed and manufactured by SpaceX, is first launched by privateer Elon Musk, who founded PayPal, from the Kwilajan Atoll in the South Pacific. Points to me for saying that right. Birthdays?
Yes, well done. And it took him 10 years to be able to actually successfully shoot up a rocket and bring it back down. Yay! About a month off, too, from the anniversary. Very nice. Rachel McFarlane, 42 years old. Haley on American Dad, codename Kids Next Door.
Greg Ellis is 50 from Pirates, the 2009 Star Trek, Commander Price in Command and Conquer.
Mark Waid, 56. He's a fantastic comic book writer.
Rosie O'Donnell is 56 from Gimme a Break, Stakeout,
Exit to Eden, Harriet the Spy, and of course the Q-Bot episode of Impractical Jokers.
Matthew Broderick, 56 years old as well, from Ferris Bueller, The Freshman, Election, The Producers. We don't mention Godzilla.
Or The Stepford Wives. Gary Oldman is 60 from Bram Stoker's Dracula. Blah. Commissioner Gordon in the Nolan Batmans, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead, Lost in Space, and of course a little independent film called Harry Potter.
Yeah, and also just won an Oscar like a couple weeks ago. His very first one. Well done, sir. We've also got Sabrina Marie LeBeau, or Boof. I'm not sure. She's 60. She played Sandra on The Cosby Show. Don't you feel old?
I remember why I wrote it that way, because you're right. I wrote it like this, and Spencer had it and said Boof. And when I laughed, he would get mad when I would laugh when there were screw-ups. I would laugh at mine, but I would laugh at his, and he wouldn't laugh too, and sometimes it would piss him off. You would have laughed if I said it's not La Beef.
Well, exactly. But I put in a pronunciation key in there.
Oh, you're sweet. Brad Hall is 60, an incredibly underrated SNL guy, and hosted Weekend Update.
That's right. Like for a season, I think. We've also got Timothy Dalton. Hasn't he been knighted yet? He should have been. He's 72 years old. James Bond. Now, we can kind of overlook those. He was a little too emotional, but still not the worst one. Hot Fuzz, where he was fantastic. And The Rocketeer, where he was so menacing and creepy.
No longer with us, born to this day, 1921, Logan Ramsey, a character actor you might have seen in The Beast Within and the immortal teen sex comedy from the 80s, Joysticks.
1922, a man that we could probably do an entire series of episodes on, Russ Meyer. He was a sexploitation master, most famously known for Faster Pussycat Kill Kill.
1930, James Coco, an incredibly funny man from all the cool things in the 70s, but also Holy Moses and an amazing turn in Muppets Take Manhattan.
Well, I'm sure there's something that he's in somewhere on TV tonight on CBS. We've got a new Survivor, SEAL Team, and Criminal Minds.
On ABC, it's a new Goldberg, Speechless, Modern Family, American Housewife. Then a blackout poses a threat to shut down the government and cause mayhem in the streets of Washington, D.C. on a new designated Survivor.
Good to see they're taking on race. And NBC has a new LNO, SVU, and Chicago PID.
On Fox, the cigarette-smoking man makes the final preparations for his ultimate plan on a new X-Files, followed by 911.
CW has Andy Cohen dropping by on a new Riverdale, Life Sentence. I'm sure that's a different episode.
Yeah. It would feel like a life sentence to have to watch Andy Cohen on Riverdale. Freeform, it's a new Grownish, and it's Property Management on a new Alone Together.
AMC has Contagion.
Animal Planet, they're making a bed and breakfast retreat on a new Treehouse Masters branched out.
Oh, bed and breakfast, man, when they start attacking, they're terrible. Bravo has Mean Girls.
CMT has the movie that they tried to make in Sullivan's Travels, the Coen's Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Love that movie. FX, The Martian, in the final days before the assassination of Giovanni Versace.
FXX has not only 21, but 22 Drum Street as well.
Very nice. FXM has Mignon.
Paramount will be showing The Notebook. Aw.
Nickelodeon has Princess Diaries.
Sci-Fi Channel, The Magicians. Then when Superman's grandfather, Seg-El, learns his home planet is threatened with destruction, he undertakes a harrowing mission to protect Krypton on the premiere of Krypton.
The soundtrack is being provided by Billy Joel. TBS has a new Full Frontal with Samantha Bee.
But we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because the family suffers tragic injuries during a car accident, so they retreat to a mountain resort to recover, where they meet a handsome firefighter who takes a liking to the matriarch of the family. But his true intentions remain a mystery. Dylan Neal and Rena Sofer star in Another Man's Wife.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
Vivian has a warning for Sonny, which leaves him troubled, but not bitter. G. Abby does her best to cover in front of Kate. But since she's good with lies and no one can recognize her, it's gonna work. For now. Eli supports Gabby and helps her prep for court. JJ receives positive news about his career. He has the best customer-rated spin class, and they gonna make him manager. Hashtag Chabby forever.
Do you mind? I want to check my email.
Hey, GRD. I thought of a pun you missed yesterday. Well, part of a pun. You were talking about The First Radar by Rudolf Kathoom, and I kept waiting for someone to belt out, Rudolf the Radar Chief German. Figured one of you had to have a Scheisse joke that you were building up to. Well, so much for that shit. P.S. Was that a Meteor Man joke? That's from Punny Man.
Well done, you. Well done, you, for getting that reference. Yes, Jefferson Reed from Meteor Man. And you know what? We don't do Shiza jokes here, okay? We've upped our standards, so up yours, man. Come on.
Indeed, that's the way to do it. If you've got other hidden references that we never, ever talk about, send a note that you've caught us. It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. We'd like to know what you uncovered, and if you, you know, smelled a clue.
It was the dawn of the third age of comics, 15 years after the rise of the Comics Code Authority. The Bronze Age was a dream given form. Its goal? To portray superheroes in a way that was socially relevant by tackling real-world issues. It's a catch-all, a place to explore monsters, demons, gunslingers, gods, and superheroes alike. Writers and artists wrapped in house styles of sophisticated realism, creating the stuff of legends. There is no assurance of quality, but it's our last best hope for comic books. This is a retrospective of the true Golden Age. The year is 1970. The name of the podcast, Uncovering the Bronze Age. Tune into our feed for regular content at relativelygeekypodcast.blogspot.com, also home to the Quarterbin Podcast and the Shortbox Showcase.
Hi, this is Granny Mahara, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are, and we're so glad that you're here. Because now that you are, we can talk about those fun things in life. It also gives me a chance to say the word long box, because you know how much I like that.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
Indeed. What can we get at the comic book shop, yo?
From Detective Comics, we've got Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, 5 of 6, Future Quest presents number 8, Swamp Thing Winter Special number 1, and after a year of multiverse hopping and fighting in the Milk Wars, returning to a normal life of digging and cave diving just isn't the same for Explorer Cave Carson. Sure, he's got his podcast, family, and that cybernetic guy, but reminiscing about times gone by isn't the same as living. Luckily for Cave Carson and his daughter Chloe, they're about to get sucked into an all-new adventure, literally, when they go spelunking in a black hole. But what's caused this black hole to appear when its connection to the intergalactic music sensation Star Atom? Find out in Cave Carson Has an Interstellar Eye, number 1.
Ooh, he upgraded. Marvel Cable, number 155, Doctor Strange Damnation, number 3 of 4, Iron Man Hong Kong Heroes, number 1 Super Guy, number 1. But with the strength of the Hulk and the rage and claws of Wolverine comes Weapon H. It's been some time since Weapon H escaped and destroyed his creators, but now our hero is on the run, tries to escape his mysterious past and seclude himself from the rest of society. But when a new kind of Wendigo threatens the lives of others, will Weapon H be able to shirk his responsibility? Does any of his humanity remain? Find out in Weapon H1, Preparation H0.
Dynamite Entertainment is Battlestar Galactica versus Battlestar Galactica 3 of 6, James Bond The Body 3 of 6, Pathfinder Spiral of Bones starting off with number 1 of 5. From Boom Studios, we've got Big Trouble in Little China, Old Man Jack number 7, Go Go Power Rangers number 8. We've got Jim Henson's The Storyteller Fairies wrapping up with 4 of 4, and a coming of age fantasy about living your dreams. Literally, in her dreams, Lucy is the hero of all of her favorite stories, living each night as a grand adventure. These journeys will teach her more about herself and the real world around her than she ever expected. Lucy Dreaming, number 1.
IDW Publishing, Gears of War, The Rise of Rom, number 3. Ghostbusters, Answer the Call, number 4. Punk's Not Dead, number 2. Titan Publishing, Bloodborne, 2 of 4. Doctor Who Ghost Stories, trade paperback. And then, Mad Max meets Fallout in this nightmarish version of life on a dystopian planet. From Alejandro Jodorowsky and Mobius collaborator Yoshie Igo Elghori, a band of mutants slog through the harsh deserts of a dystopian planet in search of the factory. The last semblance of civilization left among the wasteland and factory. Number 1.
Dark Horse brings us Empowered and Sista Spooky's High School Hell, 4 of 6. Harrow County, 29. Usagi Yojimbo, 166. The Hidden Part, 1 of 7. Archie Comics has Mighty Crusaders, number 4. Archie, 29. And from Lionforge, a city-sized space cruiser runs into a field of debris between galaxies, and it's up to the ship's top 8 security agents to figure out how to circumnavigate it. Investigating 8 different parallel timelines, the agents uncover multiple plots that together could spell the end of the ship's massive interspecies population. Infinity 8, number 1.
From Image Comics, Ice Cream Man, number 3, Kick-Ass, number 2, Monstrous, number 15, over at Danger Zone. It's Consultant 404 wrapping up. And then something that should have been a full moon movie. The Bad Batch is back. The soul of a serial killer with the body of a cookie. The ginger dead man. And this time he's set his beady little candy eyes on a California head shop. High and dry, brah. But little does he know what's under the protection of Ebi, the evil Bong. A cursed artifact who wants to cast his crunchy body into the magical realm of Bong World. The bloodshed and stone heads begin here. And ginger dead man meets evil Bong. Number one.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Geek
News! Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Congrats, my geeks, we did it! Matt Ryan's John Constantine is set to return as a Wait For It series regular in the CW's Legends of Tomorrow if the series is renewed for a fourth season. If? Do not taunt me! Ryan, of course, played the chain-smoking, bisexual, world-weary demonologist character who dabbled in the dark arts on the live-action Constantine on NBC, but that got canceled, and we did not let him go. And he came back for various CW series. In fact, in just a couple days, he'll be in the CW Seed animated series, so that's good, too. He's popped up twice in Legends of Tomorrow this season, and should the renewal be announced, the character will have a permanent new home. Now, with Wentworth Miller, Victor Garber, Franz Drom leaving the series, we need him. And it's as close as network TV will get to Justice League Dark. Do we have to sell some souls to guarantee this happens? It's just the way of it, son. We all sell our souls sooner or later.
About bloody time. After a few days of rumors, it seems like it's official now. A Wrinkle in Time director, Ava DuVernay, locked down her second 100 million plus film in the form of The New Gods for DC and Warner Brothers. So maybe Darkseid is getting fleshed out some more than fanboys know him. The studio has hired Chasing Maverick's scribe Kario Salem to write a draft of the film for DuVernay. As of right now, the New Gods connection to the DC Extended Universe is unclear, but it has to be connected. Darkseid is the big bad, after all. The New Gods will be based on the Jack Kirby series. Among the characters that make up the New Gods are Mr. Miracle, Big Barda, and Darkseid. Done right, this will lead to flame-throwing Jesus. Or, at the very least, much chortling from Ted.
Two legends of comics are finally teaming up. Both have teamed up with and or against a variety of characters. Both have faced down a predator. The Punisher. They've teamed up with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But now, world, get ready for it. Batman 66 and his new sidekick, Archie Andrews. This July, Bruce Wayne teams up with Archie, and Archie meets Batman 66. The wholesome high schooler will become the newest teenager to swing into action alongside the billionaire vigilante. Like all DC and Archie Comics' recent crossover series, this will not be in continuity. The deep, rich, very thick, complicated continuity of Archie Comics. There's going to be a variant cover of Archie doing some Carey Kelly cosplay. Take that how you will. It's not clear whether he's actually going to become Robin, but hey, stranger things have happened. Will Reggie become a lackey of the Penguin? Can Moose take out Bane? Will Jughead and the Joker ever get along? Will everyone learn a lesson and laugh about it over at Pops? Probably, while Ace and Hot Dog do all the heavy lifting.
So, Betty, Veronica, who wants to ride on the Batpole? There was a small box with dangling red wire and little blue at Windsor's Mackenzie Hall. Someone had to check it out. But who are you going to call? Well, the cops, of course, and the Windsor Police Explosives Disposal Unit were called and determined the package was safe and that there was no evidence of explosive material. But who did it belong to? Now who are you going to call? A spokesperson for the Lifestyle Paranormal Society, that's who. They said that the little black box belonged to them. He said he didn't even realize the EMF detector, which is every follower of Egon and Holtzman knows is short for electromagnetic field sensor, was missing after the society completed a sweep for spirits at the hall last Friday. Then the police showed up at their door. After describing the bit of gear, he got the bad news. They said, unfortunately, we can't give it back to you. It's been destroyed, but it's okay. It's replaceable. It's just this tiny little box with an LED light and a wire. In our field, we use it to determine if there's an entity or an energy in the room with us. And if there is, the little blue light will flicker. I imagine it probably does if there's a lot of thetans around too. Now, we all know, of course, this has never done anything of value on any ghost hunting show. But just if you ever see one, make sure you're really quiet around it. Because it could be the box that houses the internet.
The world is still dealing with the loss of the great mind of Stephen Hawking. He had one more thing to leave us, though. But it's not necessarily good news. A theory explaining how we might detect parallel universes and a prediction for the end of the world. The renowned theoretical physicist was working right up until his death last week on his final work, A Smooth Exit from Eternal Inflation, which sounds like the best jazz album never made. It's currently being reviewed by a leading scientific journal. In it, he predicted that the universe would eventually end when stars run out of energy. But Hawking also theorized in his final work that scientists could find alternate universes using probes on spaceships, allowing humans to form an even better understanding of our own universe. What else is out there? And our place in the cosmos? You know, before it all comes to that screeching halt. The physicist's final work was published alongside his co-author, Professor Thomas Hertog, of KU Leuven University in Belgium. Now, Hawking never won a Nobel Prize. This paper coming out now means that he has one more chance. He still could be nominated, and he could win, because after all, what could be more peaceful than a dead universe? GRD is licensed under Creative Commons. Hey, how's that for a happy chipper note there, kids? Have fun in the snow.
That's not depressing at all.
No, F that. Did you go to a grocery store with snow people there? No, good God. It is depressing. The world's ending. I hope I said all that nonsense. Whatever it was, yeah, we said that. Cool. And go to youtube.com/geekradiodaily. That's always fun. Drop us a note if you find any form of hidden little things we've had in there that we don't remember ourselves. We'd like to uncover these together. Drop a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com, and we will see you the next time we do.
TV Hour, Dunkin' Con, Porn Star, Regen, Spin.
Woo!
Welcome to Nerd School. Nerd.
You can waste time with your friends when your chores are done.
Doesn't anyone know how to turn off the program when they leave?
Good night, suckers!
I'm going.
I think we can say we made some progress.
You think so?
I think we can say that.
I think we can say he made us look ridiculous.
Played it close to the chest, of course.
Question and answer. He was scoring a throw down the line.
Caught us on the wrong foot once or twice, but I think we gained some ground.
He murdered us.
Might have had the edge. 27-3, and you think he might have had the edge? He murdered us.
What about our evasions?
Oh, our evasions. You were sent for, he says. My lord, we were sent for. Now, where'd I put myself?
He had 6 rhetoricals.
It was question and answer, all right.
And 2 repetitions.
27 questions he got out and answered 3. I was waiting for you to delve. When's he going to start delving, I asked myself.
We got his symptoms, didn't we?
Half of what he said meant something else, and the other half didn't mean anything at all.
Thwarted ambition, a sense of grievance. That's my diagnosis.
6 rhetorical and 2 repetition, leaving 19, of which we answered 15. And what did we get in return? He's depressed. Denmark's a prison, and he'd rather live in a nutshell. Some shadow play about the nature of ambition. And finally, one direct question which might have led somewhere and led, in fact, to his illuminating claim to tell a hook from a handbag.
Handsaw.
Handsaw.
When the wind is southerly.
And the weather's clear.
And when it isn't, he can't.
Is at the mercy of the elements.